Hallelujah. Wow, what an awesome God. Thank you, Pastor David. Thank you for allowing three out of their mind guys in here to minister to you. And then we even had a guy that he's not out of his mind, he's out of yours. That was David Hogan. But I've been out of my mind for a long time now. It's been a hard thing for me because I'm very educated. But Jesus is getting me out of my mind so I can get into the mind of Christ. Amen. How many want to go in there with me? Yeah. Into the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, when you get in there, you find all kinds of good things like healing, like deliverance, like salvation, kingdom of God, all those things that are part of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You know, I want to start out with a couple of testimonies tonight of people that have been healed of the effects of COVID-19. Because one of the things we're going to do here tonight is we're going to put COVID-19 under our feet, where it belongs. It's from hell, and therefore, I mean, I know Wuhan and, you know, and all that stuff, but it's from hell, and it's there for us to defeat it, really.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The thing that amazes me about this disease is, especially dealing with these healings of after effects, is there's no pattern. It's like it's totally random. It's, and I'll give you an example. We were up in Ashland, Wisconsin, ministering probably about a month, a little over a month ago. And I just released healing decrees right over the whole crowd. And two women came up to testify after that. Amen. And one was the pastor's wife. And this is what she said. She said, yeah, I had the COVID about 6 weeks ago, got over it. But ever since I had it, I've had this painful lump right under my throat, on my upper chest. She said, I could feel it with my fingers. It was in there under my skin. And she said, this morning, when healing was being decreed and released here, it just vanished and went away. And no more pain. I'm like, that is weird. I mean, not weird that God did that, but it's a weird outcome of COVID-19. And the next lady came up there and she said, you know, I had COVID too. I think she said like 10 weeks ago, I got over it. And ever since COVID, my muscles in my right arm are like they're constantly pinching or contracting. And it's involuntary, and it hurts. But 10 weeks of that, think of that. She said, this morning, in our healing time, that just went away. I said, hallelujah. Amen. We had a similar thing over in Michigan with people with the effects of COVID. And I am telling you that it is time for the body of Christ to rise up, first take authority over it for yourself, then for your household, then for your neighbors. Now, you know, you probably need to get permission first and different things. Don't be weird with it, okay? But be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Because I'm telling you, what this thing has been played up to be is really, it's classic hell on display. A lot of smoke and mirrors, and I know people who have died. I know not only people who have died from the disease itself, I know a number of people that have died directly from the vaccine. Just saying. Okay? I know them personally. Healthy as a horse, and now dead. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is Lord. Let's stand up together.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's make this declaration together. Say this right out loud. Say, in the name of Jesus,
I choose tonight
to believe the word of God,
to believe the
testimony
of Jesus,
that is the spirit of prophecy.
And I release it into my body
and into the people around me here
and into my family
and the people I work with.
The kingdom of heaven is at
hand.
Hell, you're going to retreat.
You're going to back up
in the holy name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let's give him some praise in the house here tonight.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just come right now in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name,
and I declare that every name that has come into this room must bow to that holy name,
that name of Jesus.
Arthur, you are going to bow in the name of Jesus.
I'm talking about Arthur Itis
in Jesus' name.
Arthur, we end you
and your reign of terror over these people, over their joints, over their bones.
Go in the name of Jesus.
His resurrection power comes in there
right now in Jesus' name.
Let it come.
Just let it come into you right now.
It's a healing anointing.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's mercy.
And you, COVID-19,
you are a name.
And we come with a name that is higher than yours.
And every effect afterwards, when people have had you,
we cancel those right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
You spirit of fear and you spirit of death that came along with that,
go in the name of Jesus.
Get out of our minds,
get out of our hearts, get off of us.
We don't want you anymore.
Jesus is Lord in this place.
And effects of the vaccine right now,
we cancel it.
All the junk.
All the death,
all the so-called side effects,
go in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We declare healing mercy tonight.
And obstacles that stand in the way of people from beginning to dispense this kingdom power and this kingdom authority right now,
especially in the family line
right now, the
ancestors above you right now
and their misdeeds and their misconduct
right now, their Freemasonry,
go in the name of Jesus.
You're canceled and rebuked and sent back to the pit of hell
in the name of Jesus.
As resurrection power and life comes in here right now,
a resurrection of expectations
in Jesus' name.
Yes, your hands will heal the sick.
Yes, your voice will expel demons
in the name of Jesus.
Pride and generational heritage of pride in the name of Jesus.
I crack you and break you in Jesus' name.
Fall apart and come off.
Jesus is Lord here.
We say yes to heaven.
Religious spirits that attached, even at early ages,
right now, in liturgical settings,
and even in evangelical settings,
right now, I break your power in Jesus' name.
You cannot hold sway here.
It is the word of God we want.
It is the Messiah, Jesus.
It is God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, not religion,
not man's idea,
God's revelation.
We stand under that right now.
And we thank you, Father,
that you're coming in power,
that your kingdom is at hand.
Hallelujah.
Let's give him some more praise in the house here tonight.
Hallelujah. 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 Yes, give him more praise. The glory goes to Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I believe there were some of you here, the sensation that you experienced was just like something lifting off of you. Something that had been pressing down, just lifting up and leaving. Hallelujah. Others of you may have been healed here in this time. If you know something definitely transacted here just now as we did this, just hold up your hand, would you please? Man, hands going up all over the place. Hallelujah. Give him some more praise. Give him some more glory. Isn't that just like him to do that kind of stuff? Right? Isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So glad to have Pete Cooper with me here tonight. He is Outreach Director of Heart of the Father Ministries. Pastor Lloyd and Joanne are resting back at the hotel. They'll be back in full strength tomorrow morning. Hallelujah. Stop out at our table and check out our stuff after the service tonight. Where's Nancy? Nancy's going to, there she is. She's going to be back there helping you. And I want to talk about a few things that I didn't mention this afternoon. I don't think I talked about our Be Healed cards. Now, these are better than Get Well cards, okay? They're designed to get people healed. In fact, there's four different designs of them. Each one of these is a print of an original watercolor done by our own prophetic artist, Jan Reynolds, that works in our office. But she, besides being an office helper, she's also a prophetic artist. And she took several months to pray and come up with these, actually. That's why I say there's kind of a plan and a scheme to this, a good scheme. And so each of the cards says, be healed on the outside here. And then inside it says, in the name of Jesus. There's a scripture verse, and then there's room for you to write your own greeting to your person. And then each one comes with this CD that you see right here. It's not preaching or teaching about healing. It is a healing declaration that was given in Mora, Minnesota. How many know where Mora is? Okay, straight up the highway up here a ways. And on that night that this was recorded, there were several dozen healings that were testified about in front, but the one that I can't forget was the healing of a 6-year-old autistic boy. How many of you think it's time to declare war on autism? Hallelujah. Well, we already have. Just join with us. We're winning. Hallelujah. I believe we're winning. I heard a statistic, Pastor Dave, this past week that rocked my world. And this compares to, I mean, if you don't think there's something going on in the spirit realm to corrupt the human race and destroy us, maybe this will convince you. I believe it was about 20, maybe 15 years ago, the statistic for children having autism at a young age and then having to live their life with it if they weren't healed was 1 in 88. That's about 15 years ago. This last week, I heard on a newscast a new statistic of what it is right now. 1 in 44. Now, friends, I want to tell you, that gets me angry. At hell and hell's devices. So anyway, this night, when this was recorded, that boy was healed. He had never spoken a complete sentence in his life. They were riding home in the van. He was talking in sentences to his mother. She was just weeping and crying and praising God. And I love it when you get follow-up on some of this stuff later on. Amen? It's wonderful to have something happen in a moment in time, and it is. It's great, but I really love follow-up. 3 years later, a woman came to our Friday night fire meeting. We have them once a month up at our ministry facility. And this woman stood up and testified about this boy that had been healed of autism 3 years earlier. She said, I wanted to tell you about him because I know the family. This boy is getting A's in his classwork now, mainstreamed in all of his stuff, getting on with life perfectly well. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Receiving your healing from God and then keeping it. Because it's the thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you think he quits stealing once you get healed, you're wrong. He wants to steal it back again. And so I wrote a little book about that, and I forgot to bring one up here, actually. It's called How to Receive Your Healing from God and Keep It. And we want to give it to you free, along with a calendar from Heart of the Father Ministries, if you buy anything on the table there tonight or tomorrow morning. And Nancy will help you with all of that. We've got a set out there on healing. I talked about the Gifts of the Spirit set this morning. But this is our set on healing, 6 different messages that cover healing from about 3 or 4 different angles. Not everything that goes wrong with the human body happens the same way. And we need to let the scriptures be brought to bear on it. And there are some things that happen from traumas and accidents and things like that. There are other things that are just in the biological system of this world. There's viruses. There's artificially created viruses. Imagine that. And there's a whole class of diseases that we literally bring on ourselves. People don't like to hear that, but it's true. I'm telling you, if you stew in your juices long enough, you can make yourself sick. And believe me, the enemy will be there to help with thoughts coming. We heard about that this afternoon. Thoughts coming into your mind. You've got to guard your mind against the thoughts that are going to take you down a path that are going to make you sick. And their ultimate goal is to kill you. Friends, I think the sooner we wake up and realize in the body of Christ, this is a life and death deal we're involved in here. Amen. First of all, eternal life and eternal death for every man, woman, and child on this planet. They're still either going to heaven or to hell. No purgatory, sorry. There is no such thing. And I studied 9 years at a Catholic university to be able to tell you that. Okay. And then in the bodily realm, it's the same way, life and death. And I am seeing a group of people here in front of me here tonight that are going to rise up to be deliverers. Amen. Pastor Dave, I believe that. And part of that is getting people healed. Part of that may involve casting out demons, as you heard described this afternoon. And that's really what our weekend here is about. So we better get started here on that for tonight. Amen. But again, check out our stuff back there. Get a free calendar and book and be blessed. Hallelujah. What do you say we go into the Word of God here tonight? Okay, thank you. And what do you say we kind of just establish a whole scriptural foundation? In other words, a place to stand on when you're in the situation. Now, those of you that were here this afternoon, you heard Brother David Hogan tell us, and I love how he tells it. I didn't love it the first few times I listened to him, because he is good at offending people. And there are some times when we need to be offended. There is an offense that leads to life if we will take a warning and heed an admonition, and there is an offense that leads to death if it's taken critically and destructively. And there are times we just need to be offended, as sometimes even in our understanding of theology and in our understanding of scriptures. That I've had a couple of these in the last 2 years that have amazed me. And those of you that aren't familiar with my background, I'll give you a real brief version of it. I was a Pharisee. Okay, look at your neighbor right in the eyes and tell him the speaker used to be a Pharisee. Go ahead, tell him. Everyone scream right out loud. How did you know, doctor? Well, I was driving my car on a road in North Dakota in 1997, and the presence of Jesus came in there real strong and real powerful, and he was so strong and powerful in his presence, I was weeping. I was cry-driving down the road. Now, out in North Dakota, that's not a problem. That would be a problem here on 694, okay? But out there, there's no cars, nothing, just an occasional cow out on the road. And you can cry drive, you know. So I'm cry driving down this road, and all of a sudden the voice of Jesus comes to me. It could have been an audible voice. And he just asked me this question: are you a Pharisee? And I was devastated, to be honest with you. I mean, who, me? Now, how many of you know when the Lord asks you questions like that, he's not there gathering information? He was there for confrontation. And so I was wasted. I really was. I turned my car around. I went back home. I couldn't work. I couldn't eat. For 3 days, I just was in my bedroom. I was either kneeling by the bed or laying on the floor, weeping and crying or just groaning or whatever. For 3 days, I was just gone. Amen. How could I be a Pharisee? Well, 2 weeks later, I found myself at the Pensacola revival that was happening then, and I found out. I heard a man get up there and preach a message with the conviction of the Holy Spirit such as I had never experienced in my lifetime. And I've been going to church since before I was born. Okay, I went with my mom then. 9 months of church inside my mom. It was great. And I am a bona fide charismatic Pentecostal too, because I am told that when I was born, my mom was speaking in tongues. Now, I can't verify that, but people said that, okay? And when church was open, we were there. In fact, my dad became a pastor in his adult years. And I've really seen church from the inside out my whole life. Especially when I came out of my mom, you know. But I know that's too much information, right? Okay. But now I got the Lord asking me if I'm, do you notice he didn't accuse me? He didn't say, Nichols, you are a Pharisee. He could have, but he didn't. See, when the Lord comes to you with this stuff, he usually asks you a question. He wants to draw you into the solution to your issue. And he wants your cooperation. Pastor Dave said it, and several others were up here talking about free will this afternoon. Please put that into your theological understanding and vocabulary. You are a human being, and you have a will, and it's free. It can choose between options. God made it that way. And with that comes certain responsibility and certain outcomes that we're all aware of. So anyway, I got to this revival, and by the second night, I was convinced this was really something such as I had never seen before. And that night, I couldn't take it anymore, because at the end of the message, not only had this preacher preached this incredible message under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and all he was doing was preaching against sin, but he was preaching against my sin. Before, I'd always say, yeah, go preacher, get him over there, get her over there, she, you know. But now I was letting it land in my heart. And then that little girl got up there and started singing that Mercy Seat song. And I want to tell you, it took a strong sinner to stay in their seat when Charity James got up there and sang that thing. And that night, I ran to the Mercy Seat. Me, the guy that went to Sunday school and church, the whole spiel, the whole deal, I became whatever, Bible college, seminary, graduate school. I was a Bible professor. I was in fact, when this was going on, I was an academic dean of a Bible college. And I was a Pharisee. And I tell you that story tonight to let you know that whatever background you're coming from, because if you think back about the Pharisees in the life of Jesus, they really were his worst enemies. The Romans were not nearly as bad a threat to Jesus as his own people who were called the Pharisees, right? And the Romans were pagan Gentile idolaters, but Jesus' worst enemies were from within. And I was one of those. But he had mercy on me, hallelujah. I got to that altar that night. I slid in. I literally ran. Hallelujah. My little Pharisee bride was running right next to me. Hallelujah. We slid in. Laid down under that glory for well over an hour, weeping and snotting and crying and screaming and getting set free. Hallelujah. Whatever your background is here tonight, you are a candidate to be a part of this end-time move of God's Spirit that is going to include deliverance. Now, I'm not saying every one of you is going to have an identical-looking ministry. That's not how it works. In fact, let me say as I get started here tonight, as I'm going to tell you some stories tonight. I think by the stories I tell you, you're going to see that my experience in deliverance is quite a bit different than that of Pastor Lloyd, who spoke first this afternoon. He has done hundreds of deliverances on people in private, in a room, in his office, up there in Meadowlands. And that's what God has called him to do. I have, personally myself, I have rarely done that. Most of my encounters with demons and deliverance of people has happened out in public. And it's been God's mercy and grace, and that's different. And I think we can learn from both realms. And so why don't we just get started? Hallelujah. Why don't we start in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, eh? Look at your neighbor and tell him it's going to be a long night. No, he's starting in Genesis. There's that other book at the other end of 65 books later called Revelation. Yeah. I'll try to be brief, okay? Key word there is try, okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Wait a minute. Let them have dominion. God created us in his image and gave to us dominion. Over what? over the fish of the sea. I like that part because that includes walleyes. Hallelujah. With the birds of the air, those are called ringneck pheasants. Hallelujah. And over cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, white-tailed deer. Hallelujah. We just had dominion over four of them things. Hallelujah. My grandsons are joining me. It's awesome. And we're eating venison. It's good. Hallelujah. But over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Last time I checked, a serpent was a creeping thing. And then jump down to verse 28. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. You know what? The Nichols family is in scriptural order. Amen. We just last month got our 21st grandchild. Hallelujah. Take that, devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It said, "Fruitful, be fruitful and multiply." I told that to my four sons. They got married and they said, okay. Here we are. Hallelujah. I mean, Bill Gates doesn't like it, but hey, so what? You know about Bill Gates, right? Right? His whole plan is the earth needs less people. So I should really write him a letter and tell him, well, Bill, if you're really sold on that, go ahead. You go first, okay? I read a book that says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And you know what they say? These population reduction people, whoa, the earth has been filled. I go, really? Are you sure? Do you know if you took the population of the earth, every man, woman, and child, 7.7 billion, if you don't believe me, you do the math on this, okay? 7.7 billion, and you gave everybody a 3-foot circle to stand in, and we all came together in one place at one time. You know how much land area that would cover on the earth? People go, well, you know, maybe a medium-sized country like Spain, way too big. Or maybe a big state like Colorado, way too big. I'm talking about the entire population of the entire earth brought together and put in one place at one time, everybody having a 3-foot circle to stand in. We have 78 counties in Minnesota. And up north, we have some really large counties. There are three of them up there. You don't need all three. The population of the earth could fit in any one of those three. St. Louis, Lake, and Lake of the Woods counties, they're called. You don't need all three, just pick one, okay? You don't believe me, do the math, okay? We have not filled the earth. We have not overpopulated the earth. We need more people, not less people. God wants more people, not less people. And thank God we're on the verge of a Supreme Court decision that is going to let us stop slaughtering our offspring in this country and let the babies live. The population of this nation should be near 400 million right now. Have you driven around lately and seen all the help wanted in the bonus signing signs and all this stuff? Where are all the people? I'll tell you where. 60 million of them got killed in the abortuaries since 1973, and it was legal. But that's about to change. And it's time to pray. I know many of you have been praying. Step it up. Pray more now. Pray for courage in those justices. This has got to end in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, we got dominion. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Here it is again. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Demons are living things, and they move on the earth. So are fallen angels. So is Lucifer himself. They're all living things, and they're all under our dominion. That's where we start in the book of Genesis. Now, go with me over to Psalm 8. Just going to lay out some scriptural foundations here tonight, and then I'm going to tell you some stories. Hallelujah. I like stories that glorify Jesus. Amen. Psalm 8, verses 4 and 5. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than Elohim. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. And here's that dominion word again in verse 6. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. Amen. But there's a problem in that verse 5 there that was brought in by the King James translators. Actually, it wasn't their fault. The Septuagint translators did it 200 years before Christ. They said, Elohim. What is that word? Well, now, you know, it occurs 2,600 times in the Old Testament, Elohim. And most of those times it just gets translated capital G, God. There's a few times where it's talking about false gods and goddesses and all that, so it gets translated that way. But one time, one, everybody hold up their finger, one time out of 2,600 times, both the Septuagint translators, that's the Greek Old Testament, they're translating it out of Hebrew into Greek, and the King James translators translated it angels. So everybody just ask me a question right now. What's the big deal, doctor?
What's the big deal, doctor?
All right, here's the big deal. How is your universe structured? Is it God, mankind, angels, or is it over here, God, angels, mankind? It's a big deal. In how you view yourself and how you come to the whole matter of interacting with angels, yes, good angels, but what about fallen angels? What about demon spirits? If you believe you're under them, you are starting from a very greatly weakened position. And I came tonight to help you and tell you, you were created a little lower than Elohim, capital G, God.
Hallelujah.
And you were given dominion over all things. Satan's been lying about this for centuries. It's still working for him in a lot of places. So he's going to keep doing it. But the truth shall set you free. Now, I know the theologians here tonight, I know what you're thinking, okay? But doctor, what about Hebrews chapter 2? Where a New Testament author takes the Septuagint and he says, Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Yes, that's exactly right. That is the only respect in which any of us here are lower than angels, because angels don't die, but it is appointed unto us one time to die, and after that, the judgment. Amen? Jesus came all the way down into our humanity, and Jesus became, like us, lower than the angels at that one point that we can die, and he died. Believe me, when he died, you know what that did. Whoa, baby. Don't get me started on that. We'll be here all night. Talking about the cross and the resurrection. Hallelujah. I know some of you said, I brought my pillow. Okay, so for being here. No, I'm kidding, all right? All right, so my point is, if you take everything that's in the New Testament and everything that's in the Old Testament, we're created right under God. Angels are beneath us. There's one point that the New Testament makes clearer than the Old Testament did, and that is at the point of death. Because Jesus, as a man who was God, had to die. The angels don't die. So there you go. So, wow, what a place we're in. Yeah. But now let's go over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. This chapter is about Jesus sending out the 70. And I'm so glad this is in the New Testament. Because so many times we read through the Gospels and we're like, oh, Jesus and the 12 disciples. And we learn, and they're becoming the 12 apostles. And a lot of times we're intimidated by them and we think, oh, they're kind of up here on this pedestal. You know, we'll never be there. Well, if you feel that way, come with me and let's hang out with the 70 for a while, okay? Because they did all the same things the 12 did. You need to get a hold of this tonight. The 70 that Jesus sent out cast out demons and healed the sick, just like the 12. And we're not going to read all the first verses about that. He sent them out. They did all this stuff. Now, verse 17, it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Hallelujah. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now there goes Jesus again. He's always talking in this absolute terminology. You'd think he was master and lord or something, right? Jesus, we are people who live in the postmodern 21st century. How can you speak to us in this absolutist language? And Jesus, I think he would say, because I am King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am your Savior, your Healer, your Deliverer. I am not only the Son of God, I'm God the Son. Hallelujah. Can anybody say amen to that tonight? And I think he would say, and when I want to speak in absolute terms, I just do it. Words like all, words like nothing, words that your ears haven't heard for a long time in America and in a postmodern world. You can't say those kinds of, everything has to be qualified into a million little pieces of, well, you know, what about this? And somebody over here is going to have their feelings hurt. And we don't believe in absolutes anymore. I do. And I'm as educated as you can get in the United States of America right now. I'm not boasting about that. It's God's grace and mercy and his provision that allowed me to do that in 19 years of post-high school education. But I escaped the postmodern idiocy. Sorry to speak plain. I'm going to speak plain tonight. Is that okay? Because that's what it is. Now, if you're getting someone, a postmodern person, near to Jesus, don't call them an idiot. Okay? You know, be gentle, be kind, but tell them the truth. Find a way to tell them the truth.